One of the things we do is we come in here and we take for granted what we get to be a part of. And I don't know about you, now I still got a little old school left in me, and the longer I live, I find out I got more old school left in me. But I love the choir. And one of the things that I'm glad that we never took out at Hillview Heights Church was the choir. Because biblically it says, it didn't say there was a praise team of angels, it said there was a choir of angels. And you know what I love about the choir? More than their musical ability, I love watching the Holy Spirit dance all over those different kinds of people. And that together, you see, the kingdom of God comes together when we realize that God wants to release every one of us, not some of us, to sing His glory. I just want to give thanks for what we get to experience. I'm glad you're here today. How many of y'all are glad you're here today? How many of y'all are glad you're here today? You ought to be glad you're here today. It is the second Sunday of Advent. And here's what I want us to pray for. We're going to talk about peace today. Peace. Now, I don't see a lot of peace going on in the world today. Do you all? We have entered that phase that Scripture said there will be wars and there will be rumors of wars. You know what? There were wars and rumors of wars when Jesus entered in. And you know what He came to bring? To bring peace. Here's what I have found. Peace is not the absence of war. Now let that simmer for a minute. Peace is knowing how to live through the wars, isn't it? Because when Jesus came here, He came into a war. He came into a battle. He came into the battle for the mercy of God to touch our souls. So I'm going to pray today, and I want you to get serious about this. I know December jumped up on you, and you thought I was doing, Billy Lowe, they thought I was doing preacher talk again. It is December. Hark, the herald angels sing. Come, O come, Emmanuel. You got a great gift inside of you. You got a greater gift than anybody can imagine, and that is the gift of Jesus Christ. I'm going to challenge you, encourage you, whatever else I can do for you, with you, because of you, in the name of Jesus, to go tell somebody about this Jesus that makes an extraordinary difference. The world doesn't know Him, Doc, because we don't hearken, and it's time to hearken. And we'll talk about living out this peace. Once again, how many of y'all are thankful for being in a church where God can be released? I am today. I am. I leaned over to Elizabeth. I'm caught up in the music. You know, I can't sing, but when everybody's singing, I go ahead and sing. Because I know I'm going to be drowned out by the glorious forces. But you know what I used to, before we got ready to go to worship, before we were at Hillview Heights Church, we would turn on a Ron Canole CD. Or it may have been an 8-track back then. And we'd turn it on so that we could hear the choir. And now we come to a church and hear the choir, the angels sing. Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful that You've brought us here today, that You're a God that is for real. Lord, I thank You that we don't have to pretend You came, because most everybody in this room knows You did. And so, Lord, as we enter this Advent season, as we come to this Sunday of peace, help us understand that You are a God that is beyond us, but You're a God that is willing to be with us. And so, Lord, because You are with us, may our peace, may Your peace, and may the peace of God be revealed to this world. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Peace is not always the absence of war. The older I become, how many of y'all can say that? The older I become, okay. And I tell you what, I don't fight aging. I don't talk much about aging at 11 o'clock because they're totally unaware that that's going to happen. They'll be at 8 o'clock before too long. How many of you all found if you go along, you'll realize more than you used to? If you'll go along. Now, here's the only benefit I found by being here a little longer. And it's not that anything works better, but you know more than you used to know. How many of you all know more than you used to know? And then here's the funny thing. The more I know, the less I know about what I thought I knew. How many of y'all are that far along? Now, I want to start here today. You and I cannot find peace on our own terms. Amen. As we process through this Advent, here's what we're going to find. We can't bring hope on our own. We can't bring peace on our own. We really can't bring joy on our own, and we definitely can't understand love on our own. Now, note the miracle that's happened. What we were without, God came and brought to us. Do you see the move from heaven to earth? That's Christmas. From heavenly realm to the earthly realm, God comes to earth. How many of y'all excited to know that God comes to earth? Now, I mean, you're excited that God comes to earth. Now, see, here's, once we understand this simple principle, Painter, then we can live it out. Some of us still have a God who lives in heaven. And we go see God. No, that's not biblical. That was First Testament. We went into the tent. We went into the covenant. Now the miracle of the Second Covenant is that God is in us. That's a big radical change. Not God over us, but God in us, Emmanuel. And because God is in us, all things have become possible. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll get the verse location for you. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want us to see that we can live this out. Verse 8. Now, it's interesting that the writer here, the Holy Spirit, writes into the author here. He writes about peace in the midst of conflict. He writes about peace in the midst of conflict. How many of you all found that conflict is just unavoidable? Come on, work with me today. This is the advent of peace. How many of y'all are glad to know that you can have peace in the midst of conflict? Because what do we already know? How many of you pretty well know, you've lived long enough to know, I'm going to have some conflict? How many of y'all have some conflict this week? How many of y'all probably going to have some conflict next week? How many of y'all probably going to have some conflict at Christmas? Okay, now check this out. Now, this is an Ayersian proposal, okay? It's an Ayersian proposal. I think one of the reasons we stay upset all the time is because we live under the illusion that there is a place on earth without conflict. The more I observe this, I call it the lie of the baby boomers. I'm at the tail end of that generation. But we believe there's some utopia somewhere. There's some utopia that if I get this or have this or do this, then eventually there's going to be no more conflict. Any of y'all ever had that in your life? Any of y'all ever had that thinking process in your life? How many of y'all have ever said this? Well, once I get out of high school, then it's all going to be fine. And then once I get out of college, it's all going to be fine. How many of y'all have said this? Once I get married, it's all going to be fine. Boy, that was a shocker, wasn't it? And then how many of y'all, oh boy, listen, if you haven't had children yet, please don't do this. I've heard this before, you young couples that are just, we're going to have a child to bless our marriage. Don't. Have a child because you're ready to take on what?
Challenge.
Challenging. What will a child produce?
Conflict.
Watch this. Even Jesus, as a child, caused his mom and dad some problems. Mm-hmm. We have one incident. Jesus is in the seventh grade. He's 12 years old. He's attending Jerusalem Middle School. And they go on a trip to the temple, which is the ultimate moment in Jewish life to get to go to the temple, to the presence of God, where all the history of the faith relies. Pastor Andrew, Jesus is a seventh grader. Maybe you can relate to this on trip. So his family's on family vacation at the temple. And guess what Jesus does? He gets lost. Y'all ever had that moment? Y'all ever lost one of those? And where was Jesus? He was mesmerizing the elders of the temple, but he was not with his mom and dad as they took off to head back home. And this wasn't like that they had a minivan with a DVD in it for Jesus to watch on the way back home. They were walking, so they had to turn around. And Joseph was a little conflicted when he arrived at his son's moment. Life has conflict. That's not in question. The question is, will you bring Jesus into your moments? Peace comes when we let Jesus into the moments. This song, Silent Night, O Holy Night, O Still Night, O Peaceful Night, we've really messed Christmas up in its historical context. First of all, it wasn't snowing. Second of all, it wasn't quite. They were going to pay their taxes. Isn't it interesting that Jesus arrives as the government has given a decree, Caesar Augustus has given this decree, that all people should return to their hometown to be counted. Now, why does the government want to have a census? So they know where the tax base is. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. They're not taking a census because they're concerned about where your hometown is. They want to know where the money is. They're looking for Jesus. It's a conflictual moment. It's a crowded place. How many of you have ever been in a crowded place? You know, I find nothing amusing about amusement parks because they're crowded. You wait 2.5 hours to go take a ride on Splash Mountain. You can take a water hose and have the same effect in your backyard with no wait. It's a crowded place. Bethlehem was a crowded moment. It was a conflictual moment. Don't you imagine there were some people that were disturbed in Bethlehem on that night? If Jesus couldn't get a place, I bet there were some other people that couldn't get a place, right? So there were people that were a little beefed in that moment. And in comes who? Jesus. Now, he calls us to bring peace into. That's the Advent. Now, I want you to think a moment. What moments in life do you have that you need to bring some peace into? Jesus said these words on the great Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I really want you to know that if you're a peacemaker, it's because you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Timmy, you're a peacemaker. You got that when you had the mice run up and down on you, they dropped some peacemaking ability. Your focus is, how do I make it all right, and not how do I continue to disturb it? Now, I'm going to tell you something. We do not see a lot of peace in our culture for this one reason. You can't be peaceful when the focus is on you. When the focus is self-centered, you will always be a disruptor. Now, let me tell you about conflict. Aggravation is not peace. Some of the most aggravating people I have experienced never raise their voice. But they're passive aggressive. That's what we call it in clinical terms. How many of y'all have ever met some passive aggressive people? The South is covered up with passive aggressive people. They'll smile at you and they'll be charming to you, and then they'll go behind your back and say, well, I don't know about so and so, or I don't know about. Now, they never say enough to get them in total trouble, but they say just enough to make the other person wonder. Do you all know what I'm talking about? Amen. We're so obsessed with talking about each other. We even have great technology now and have sites like Topics so people can gossip anonymously about each other. This is something that people run to. Now, guess what? And we're so brain dead in our society. I mean, I do mean to be this judgmental. We're so brain dead in our society that people will read what they read by anonymous sources and believe it to be true. They never check the source. And here's what's so sad. We have news stations that do that. Never check a source. Just blurt out information about people. Do they really know? Are they telling the truth? So here's what I want you to hear today. Truth sets us free. Isn't that what the Bible says? So when we get to the truth, guess what the truth also does? It brings peace into our situation. And let me say, when you get in a marital conflict, if you're in a marriage conflict, you know what the truth is? You can stay together. Do you know that's the truth? Because you've already made a covenant with each other and you can stay together. That's not the question. The question is, do you want to work it out? Do you want to pay the price to work it out? You already know you go together because one of you is a man and one of you is a woman, and God's designed you to go together. Now, he didn't design you to get along. He designed you to go together. And in the midst of the conflict, what do? Grow. Did Jesus have conflict when he came here? You better believe he did. You know why? He was bringing truth into a world of lies. He was bringing it in. So I'm going to bring peace into what this week? That's your challenge. Be a peacemaker. Now go with me to verse 8, chapter 3. Finally, he says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, after I've told you these instructions, finally, let me tell you what we need to be about. For those who have received Christ into their lives, those who are following Jesus Christ, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. So one of the jobs that we need to be about in the faith is to live in what? Harmony. Now, let me give you the secret to that. Can I give you a secret to that? When you deal with other people, how many of you all look for what God's doing in them? Not what you like about them or not what you disagree about them, but what is God doing in their lives? What's God doing in their lives? They're your brother or they're your sister. Guess what they are? They're another human being that's on their way to heaven too. What if we begin to look at the God potential in each other? Would that change our horizontal relationships? Now, finally, all of you. They didn't say some of you. It said what? What have we done in the church kind of over the years? Well, we always got a few people that aggravate everybody else. You know, most churches are filled with people that want to get along. Did you realize that? Most churches are filled with people that want to get along. And I deal with a lot of churches in my life, okay? They'll have four or five that disturb everybody else to keep everybody from getting along. But most of them want to what? That's one of the things I thank you all at Hillview. And listen, and just because I say it, we're going to make it that much more so, Richard. We're not going to get away from it. Most people here at Hillview attempt to get along. That's why this works. Now, if Hillview still got some people, oh, yeah, we got people. You're going to have people problems. You're going to have people problems. That's part of the kingdom of God. Did all the disciples get along? No. Jesus is fixing to be crucified. And what are they worrying about, Pastor Jeff? Who's going to sit on the right? Who's going to sit on the left? They were worried about placement. Some of us today, we've walked in here and we walked in. Not am I going to recognize God, but is God going to recognize me? You want to find peace? May God be recognized. May God be recognized. What is the mystery of Christmas? Nobody could recognize who. They couldn't recognize Jesus. Did you notice that? We couldn't recognize Jesus. The angels had to tell us where he was. Heaven had to show the shepherds where he was. And heaven had to point to the intellectuals where he was because we can't find him on our own. Well, you know what? We can't find peace on our own. But once we receive Christ, then we ought to get this attitude. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Now, here's some things that let's practice them at Christmas, and then let's just keep them going for the rest of the year. What do you think? Let's practice. Now, this is going to sound kind of kumbaya. It's a kumbaya kind of scripture, but when lived out, it really works, okay? Be sympathetic. What does that mean to be sympathetic? The Bible tells us be sympathetic with one another. Look into what's right before you analyze what's wrong. How many of y'all can find what's wrong with somebody before you find what's right with somebody? I hear people that, you know, how many of y'all hear people talk about people all week long? Come on, work with me today. Y'all live here on the same planet I do? I hear people talk about, I've heard people talk about you. Andy, you ever heard people talk about me? You better believe it, I am entertainment for this community. I'm glad to fulfill that role. That doesn't bother me because you know what? I want them to talk about the Jesus, though. And most people, when they talk about me, I'll just use me. You know what they talk about? They talk about something they don't like. Now, here's where they don't understand. I don't care what they don't like. I mean, they really don't understand that. I don't care. Because here's why. I think and believe to the bottom of my heart that all of us humans are just alike. So I don't care what you think. I don't even care what I think. Here's the secret of finding peace. What does God say? You really want to find peace? We got to go past what we think into what God has said. And God said, finally, finally, finally. Finally, get along with one another. You know, we've had racial tension in the world, throughout the world. Why? So we look at what's different instead of what is in harmony. We try to read everybody's story. Now, note this. We try to read everybody else's journey through our own journey. Be sympathetic means, wait, first listen to somebody else's journey before you evaluate it. Listen to where they're coming from. Because ultimately, where do we all come from? Ultimately, where do we all come from? You're right, D. Where do we come from? Heaven. Who created you? Jesus. God, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, look at your neighbor and say, God made you. Come on, tell him God made you. Vicky, God made you. God made you, Paul. God made you.
Paul, we're more alike even though you grew up across the pond and I grew up on this side of the pond, right? Now we could look and say, you could look at me and say, Pastor Steve, you have a funny accent. I have a funny accent for people that live in London, don't I?
Certainly do.
Certainly do. Should our accent cause conflict? Heavens no. What's God doing in the midst of us? You see how this widens your mind? And one of the things I love about Jesus is a lot more sympathetic than church people. Jesus sees the whole world. What do we see? We got to be honest with this. We see our part of it. Jesus is not from Kentucky. Jesus is not a southerner. When Jesus came here, he was a Mideasterner. He knew about small towns. Bethlehem was one of them. He was Jewish. That's what he participated in humanity. He participated as a Jew, not as a white Anglo-Saxon, you know, from Alabama. He participated as a Jew. He's not white. That's going to blow white people away when they get to heaven and realize Jesus ain't white. Because if he was white living in a desert, he wouldn't have had to have been crucified. He'd have burned up before he got 33 years there. You see, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit's got some real reasons for our differences. Amen? Come on, somebody listen today. He's got some real reasons for our differences. And to be sympathetic, says God, I want to know how you're going to use that brother or that sister, even though they're uniquely different than me. So instead of judging them, I'm going to listen for their story because I want to tell yours, Jesus. That's the way we get along. That's the way, and we got to do more than get along. We got to get people to heaven. One of the ways we do that, love as brothers. Be compassionate and be humble. Love is what? Brothers. Well, anybody here have a brother? How many of y'all had a brother? Anybody here had a brother? All right. Cecil, you had a brother? Was he bigger or smaller than you? Both. Did y'all ever have any conflict? Me too. My brother is a musician. He's a pianist. He's an organist. So he wasn't into the rough and tough and tumble, but I would pick on him every once in a while. I remember one day, he liked playing wiffle ball for some reason. That was his sport, wiffle ball. And he had a yellow wiffle ball bat. Y'all know what I'm talking about, those long, slim wiffle ball bats? And I was in his room, and we were brothers, okay? We had the same mom and daddy, brothers. We're brothers growing up in the same family. We got in a fight. And I want you to know, he rolled over on the other side of the bed, and guess what he found on the other side of that bed? That yellow wiffle ball bat, and he came up across that ball, that bed, and he whiffled me all the way down the hallway. I deserved it. But guess what? He didn't quit being my brother after that incident. In fact, I didn't even retaliate because I figured out all the many times I picked on him and one wiffle ball bat, he was still in deficit. He didn't cease to be my brother because we had a moment of conflict. Why in the kingdom of God do we dismiss people that we have disagreement with on occasion? What a pathetic excuse for Christianity. If we can't be the people that forgive and heal, then you can just put all your bumper stickers, bracelets, and t-shirts up because our message is not genuine. We don't just get along to get along. We get along so that people might get to heaven. Does that make sense? It's not that I disagree with you. It's that I want you to know Jesus. Isn't that a greater message? I want you to know Jesus. Through this whole Advent series, I'm going to bring the people that gathered at the manger. The people that gathered at the manger were uniquely different. Shepherds. Hard-working, toothless, nomadic wonders. Shepherds. Angels, heavenly beings, intellectuals, the wise scholars from the East, those who would held the university positions of that time, but they all bowed at the manger. You see, what is true is what is true. Every knee shall bow. No matter where it comes from, it will bow in front of Jesus. He is the one. Now let's live together. Sympathetic. As brothers and sisters. I had sisters too. I fight with them. And guess what? Guess what happens after we get done with the fight? I fight with my youngest sister. I love fighting with my youngest sister. That's my favorite sister to fight with because you can just throw her a bone and it's on. But you know what? If my baby sister was ever in trouble, I'm her brother. And I can say things to her that nobody else can say because that's the privilege of family. Can you imagine if we got that way in the church? That we loved each other so deeply, it wasn't about momentary difficulty, but it's, wait a minute, that's my brother or sister. We headed to the same place. We're family. We're brothers. We're sisters. We live in that kind of relationship. We're compassionate. Compassion brings peace. To love one another as Jesus has what? That's the message. To love as Christ has loved is the release on the world. To be what? Humble. What does it mean to be humble? Simply this. God knows better than we do. How many of y'all are willing to submit to that? That God knows it better than I do. God knows what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what's happening in the future. And be humble. I don't know. Chuck, do you know exactly what's going to happen to Ann?
Nope.
And you've been with her. She's been coaching you your whole life.
Pretty much.
From Central City unto your destiny. But you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Eddie, you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Then good, don't worry. I know the doctor gave you some bad news, but he doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow either. He just speculating what might happen. How many of y'all listen to the doctor like that? You need to listen to the doctor like that. Somebody hear what I'm telling you?
Amen.
Listen, I'm not busting on doctors. We need doctors. I'm glad we got doctors. Amen? Because if it was left up to me, we'd all die. I'm not taking those classes. I'm glad they took those classes. I'm glad they went to that extra work. But they don't know forever. Only Jesus knows forever. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank goodness. Only Jesus knows forever. Look at here. And he tells us to do some things. You ready? We must be humble. And then we need to learn this. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because it is to this you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. You want me to sum that up? And most of us would say what? I got to get what? I got to get even. Well, let's think about that term for a minute. I got to get even. Now follow me logically here, Brooks. So if we're both even, follow me here. If we're both even, what happens to us at our death? We're both even at the time of death. What happens to both of us? Where is that place? We're both even? Oh. We end up in hell without Jesus. If all I got on judgment day is this, Don and I are even. I don't have much, do I, standing before the judge? Well, Don and I are even. We're squared up. Jesus says, yeah, if Don had died on a cross and rose from a grave, you'd be in good shape. But here's the problem. You and I aren't squared up. The submission is to Jesus, not to each other. Let me ask you a question. Why do we like getting each other? What value is there in getting another person? I mean, really think about this. A sense of power. That's right, D. Good, you're on it today, man. You must have really prayed last night. We get this sense of power. I said, well, I got Dr. Cox back. But what did I accomplish? No, now I'd never mess with Dr. Cox. This is a man that puts metal in your mouth at a high speed. Be nice to him. He's a dentist. Be nice to all dentists. Why? They can knock you out and take half your teeth out. Be careful. Be nice to dentists. Don't get even. He said, what am I going to do? Expose God. Expose Jesus. Now, what's interesting, this is exactly the way Jesus lived. He was sympathetic. He was humble, completely humble. He did not repay evil for evil. But he brought blessing where there was evil. Somebody hear the Spirit. Angels are singing. Bring blessing where there's evil. And I really see this vision. If we just had a few folks, it would bring blessing where there's evil. The voice of God would start being heard. Now, Hillview, we do that in some places, man. We do that in some places. Here's one of the things we do good. We look for where people are being left out and we bring them in. Chase, the Jesus problem. That's a Jesus kind of deal. Jesus would do things like that. Let's look at Jesus a minute. He went where nobody else would go. He went to the places nobody else would go. In that way, Hillview, we follow Jesus pretty well. We go to places in the city that nobody else is going. And says, may you be blessed in the name of Jesus. We're heading that way. We're continuing to head that way. This new year opens up a new way to bring peace. But to bring blessing where there is insult and not continuing insult. As I've lived out my ministry in the church, it's been, I've had exciting moments in the Holy Spirit. But Pastor Mark, let me tell you one thing that has really discouraged me over 30 years now, is to watch pastors wanting to get each other. I don't understand. It's the most jealous group of people I've ever run around in my life. Because what do you, I always ask them, what do you get when you get it? What do you get? A silver plaque? Then somebody going to sell at a yard sale for 25 cents. What do you get? You see, it's not about getting, it's about receiving. Now, Christmas is about receiving. We've got it all backwards. Well, it's about giving. No, it isn't. It's about receiving the gift. Christmas is really about receiving the gift. Because you and I don't have anything to give until we receive the gift of God. It really is about receiving. We won't make it about giving. Charlo, you know why we want to make it about giving? We're in control. So don't give an insult back to an insult. Somebody says, well, I don't like... Wait. Hey, I hear this sometimes. Have y'all ever seen just a real good-looking woman walk in? You know who looks at her more than the men? Other women. I can't believe she wears this. I can't believe she... Why do you girls do that? If you married, chill out. It ain't none of your business. This intense jealousy we have of each other. Just live. Not looking at the other person, but looking at your God so that you'll be in relation with the other person. Does that make sense? So if you really want to have some peace, you want to see peace revealed, chill out, be completely humble, be sympathetic, and guess what? Quit repaying evil. Don't get them back. What if we move from this? Instead of wanting to get people back, we really had a heart to get them to Jesus. Instead of getting them back, let's get them to what? Jesus. To Jesus. That'll bring peace. Let me show you what happens. Be careful. Bring blessing. To this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. How many of y'all, your mouth gets you in trouble? Anybody in this room ever said something you wish you had never said besides me? How many of y'all have ever said something about somebody else? And those of you with your hands down, I really got to ask you, how many times you never lied? How many of y'all probably going to say something as soon as you get in the car? You know? I share a lot of opinions with Elizabeth. I like her to know what I think. And you know what she does sometimes? She just rolls right. She'll go. I know what that means. You're just talking out of your head. Or some other parts of your body. Just talking. Just talking out of it. Just talking, talking. How many of y'all ever do that? Just talk, talk, talk. How many of y'all do the, well, if so-and-so would do this, then I could have a better life? How many of y'all have ever thought that? Well, listen, let me tell you what you've done there. Let me tell you how crazy that is. When you say, if so-and-so would do this, then I would have a great life, you're saying Jesus is not enough. Jesus can take away all the evil that so-and-so has done. That's where the peace comes. It's the only place I know of complete healing. You can surrender your life to some imaginary higher power and you'll get imaginary peace. Or you can surrender your life to a true higher power named Jesus Christ and guess what he'll bring into our midst? peace because we're forgiven. He says, be careful, watch your mouth, watch your tongue, watch deceitful speech. Let me tell you what deceitful speech is. Making someone else suspicious about someone else without true evidence. You know what I notice? Most people that talk about people don't know them. Yeah. I don't know what they're going through. And I've heard a lot of people talk about what they would do if they were in certain positions. And then they get in those certain positions, and guess what? They don't do it either. Because now they have the knowledge of what? That position. I thought I knew how to raise children till I had some. I thought I knew what it was like to do this or that, whatever this or that is. And then it occurred. And it was different than I thought it was going to be. How many of y'all have had those occasions? It was just different than I thought it was going to be. And God says, be careful. Don't be deceitful. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. You know what that tells me? You got to what with peace? You got to receive it, and then what? After you receive it, what do you got to do? What's the word here in Scripture? Great word in Scripture here. Seek or? I like the NIV translation here. Pursue it. How many of y'all pursue peace in your relationships? I got a choice every time Elizabeth and I are together. I can pursue peace or I can create aggravation. But I can what? I can pursue peace. You go into that business meeting, you could pursue what? Peace. In dealing with each other, we could find what? Peace. We could find that. It's possible. Or we can what? Look at what's restless instead of pursuing what is peaceful. I want you to know something. In the name of Jesus, we're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. How many of y'all know we're a blessed people? We get to eat well. We get to sleep well. We have well shelter. We have been given by God over and over and over. Even the poorest of our poor looks like kings compared to the poverty of this world. But you know what we've done with our blessing? We've looked up to God and said, more, 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 more. Instead of, Lord, we want to thank you for what we have, and we want to live out life with the strength you've given us. I want to challenge us as Hillview to put that in action. Look at what God has given and pursue peace in it. Amen? And in that, guess what will happen in our own lives? The advent of peace. So I pray for you, my beloved congregation, my fellow brothers and sisters, my fellow human beings, my fellow strugglers with peace, that we might seek it, we might pursue it, we might be witness of it, and it might be the revelation of our lives, that from our relationship with Jesus, guess what others might find around us? Peace. Will there be injustice? You better believe it. Will there be people that do you wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where do you think you are? Let me help you. This ain't heaven. But let me tell you the good news. Heaven's willing to come here. That's the good news. This is not heaven, but heaven's willing to come here. And for a lot of you in this room, part of heaven's in you. So now the challenge in this week is go release the peace. Go seek it, go pursue it, go release it, turn away from things that are evil, and embrace the things that are of Jesus, and see what happens to the weak. Amen?
Amen.
So have you caught on to the Advent this year? Y'all got the rhythm? Got two more to go. Joy and love, and then the revelation of Christ. It'll be the same way next year, because we need to be reminded, here's the rhythm of God. He is the hope of the world. He is the peace of the world. Now, here's the activity. Jesus is in us, right? Y'all believe that? Y'all witness these baptisms? What are we saying? We're buried in Christ. We're risen in what? Okay, so Mitchell, if that be true, which I believe it is, then we're risen to a new peace. In fact, Mitchell, your profession, you're called a what? Officer of the law. And what's another phrase for that? Peace officer. You realize that you're a peace officer.
You know, if you see some wife and she's got her, what are them things when women used to cook? They'd rolling pins. If she's got her rolling pin out and she's ready to crown her husband upside the head, and he probably deserves it. What do you have to do, Mitchell, if you see that as an officer of the law? And where do you have to step? It's a bad place for an officer to have to step. In the middle of the conflict. Hold on. A lot of us need to step in the middle of our conflict with the peace of Jesus. And do just like Jesus did when he got up in that boat, you know, and the waves are coming over and all the chaos is going on. And we can speak the same words he can because he's within us. And we need to say to some of our situations in life, peace be still. Calm down. Let's work it out. Let's find God's avenue instead of ours and see where God brings us all the way to heaven. Has this made some sense today? All right, I'm going to challenge you. Peaceful holiday. Second challenge, how many of y'all have a friend that needs to hear the good news of Jesus? Okay, we got two Advents left. Hey, I'm just telling you, people will come to church at Christmas, around Christmas time, that don't normally come to church. Have y'all found that to be true? Okay? And so I'm just asking you to invite them, all right? I will go ahead and tell them about Jesus, prep them. That's who we're going to talk about. But here's what we found at Hillview. If you'll invite people that don't know Jesus, they have a high risk of being saved if they're here. Have y'all found that to be true? They got a risk of it. They might walk out of here without Jesus. I'm asking you to invite them. Okay? I don't know all the people you know. You don't know all the people I know, but you know the people you know. How many of y'all that far along? It's a simple invitation to what? In fact, you can tell them this. You're inviting them to a Christmas party. That's for real. Just tell them, I got this Christmas party. It's at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning at Hillview Heights Church. Because what are we going to talk about? The ultimate Christmas party. And they're going to ask, are there going to be drinks there? Not at 8 o'clock is what you need to tell them. Tell them, come on. Yes, coffee will be served. That may help them from the other Christmas party on Saturday night, all right? But get them here so they can hear what? Not just the angels, but the declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. And will bring peace into their lives. Will bring hope into their lives. This is real, guys. This is real. And so how many of y'all are taking a little bit different look at the holiday season? Anybody calm down a little bit? Calm down. Calm down. Quit rushing. Quit rushing. I'm not rushing this year. I have made a mandate in my life. I'm not rushing through Christmas. We've moved some socials to the first of the year so it doesn't have to just be one event after another. We've tried so hard to have a good time, we're not having one. And so I want everybody to just chill out and have a good time. It's okay if you've been to 5 Christmas parties to excuse yourself from one. Stay at home. Be part of the peace. Embrace each other. Humble your what? Self. All right, stand with me. I can promise you this. There will be no peace without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And today, here's the greatest news I know. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, guys, listen. I want you to be praying because I'm just giving us a little guidance. Okay, here's where the devil's sneaking in at 8 o'clock service. We assume everybody in here is saved. That's a bad assumption. We assume we've been to Hillview for 20 years. What are you talking about? Well, guess what? God's still got a lot more to do. 20 years is a blip on the screen to the Almighty God. I want us to pray for the salvation of people in Bowling Green. I want to pray that we find peace. There's probably some people in here today that are just restlessly disturbed. You know what'll begin to change that? Get down on your knees and say, God, show me the truth of this conflict. Truth will set you free. How many of y'all need to be freed of some things, some struggles or some grudges? You know, people rub each other the wrong way. You know what I say to that? So what? So what? Why are we so sensitive? Why are we, this whole thing's out of whack. We sue each other for stating the obvious. Love God. With all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body. And George, guess what will happen? You find peace. They can be taking your lungs out.
But if you know who makes lungs, you'll have peace in the midst of the storm. This is real. It's real. So I invite you today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you all to start praying for people that the Holy Spirit will draw them to understand that He wants to save them. First of all, you got to step into the storm. I am a sinner. You got to get honest. I'm a sinner. I've not done what God wants me to do. I have sinned. Now, you can look a lot across the room and you can go, well, I tell you what, I'm better than Pastor Steve. Well, that hadn't taken you a whole lot. You know, Bugs here, we can look over and say, well, I tell you what, I got it better than Merle. Well, once again, you haven't really lifted yourself very high. You know, or if Billy Lowe can be saved, I can be saved. No, it's Billy Lowe, who saved you? Lowe, who saved you? Jesus. Now, when we look at Jesus, guess what we do? Bow on our knees. Bugsy, when all of us look at Jesus, we fall before the heavens and we say, my God, have mercy on me, a sinner who does not deserve your grace, but one who will receive it. Tell him, I'm a sinner at your mercy, God. And guess what you'll hear whispered in your ear? And I'm a Savior who's willing to not repay you with what you deserve, but with who I am. Grace, grace, God's grace. So receive His grace today. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. I want to repent of my sins. I want you in my life, Jesus. Save me. He'll answer that prayer. If you have not been baptized throughout December, we're going to be baptized in a big way. I want you all to be in prayer right now. Pastor Chase Goff has got a goal to see more than a few young people saved December the 22nd. Right, Chase? I want this church to be in prayer for that. I hope you have 100. And Chase is he's a go-getter, man. And Chase is a go-getter. He's already found a portable baptistry that he found. It's made somewhere in Alaska back in the corner, but he found it on the internet. He's going to have him a baptistry down there, and he and Andrew are going to baptize as many youth as God will allow on December the 22nd. You got that kind of passion. Praise God. I'm excited to have a young man, and his focus is his young people would be baptized. See, we don't count our blessings. I'm glad that I don't have to call Chase into my office because he's more concerned about having a daggum pizza party than kids coming to know Jesus Christ. Chase, the kids are fat enough. If that offends you, look down. See if there's a reason to be offended. If you see your shoes, praise God. Look at here. Look at here. Look at here. We got youth pastors who want to make sure your children, your grandchildren, our great-grandchildren know the Lord Jesus Christ, are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. You got that kind of passion that you're going to have them here at 8 o'clock in the morning? Say, listen, you coming to church with me? It's okay in December. Bible study teachers, Jeff, I'm not busting on Bible study teachers. But if I need to get them here to hear the gospel and take them to Shoney's after they're saved for a couple of weeks, we'll be all right. And then get them to baptism. Come on, church. Do you hear the angels sing? You're going to let peace be made. Let's let it happen. Lord, we open this altar. We're at a Sunday that we can open the altar, and we praise you for that. We're thankful for that, God, that we get to open this altar. God, we thank you for the revival of music today. Lord, we thank you for the peace that can only be found in Jesus. So, Lord, heal us. Teach us. May we pursue you today, and may we hear you clearly as the angels sing. May we sing with them. In the name of Jesus, let's worship. Come on, church. This altar's open. Oh, what a privilege to come bow down to seek His peace. Come on, church. Let's pray. Let's pray.